Right, we're at the front here because Chris and Helen have been part of our Woody Church family for a number of years, more years than I've been here, certainly. For the past 4.5 years, we've been privileged to have Chris working with us as our student worker and our associate pastor. And there are many good things that he and Helen have brought to the church during that time. Chris and Helen have now reached this stage where they believe that God is leading them on from Woody into the next part of his plan for their lives. And one of the things that we like to do in Woody, one of the things that we think is important to do is whenever folks sense a call of God on their lives, we encourage them to share it with us as a fellowship, and so that we can pray for them in it. And in that sense, of course, Chris and Helen are no different from anybody else. And so this morning, we're wanting to give them the opportunity to share something, guys, if you will, of what you sense that God's leading you into. So I don't know who's going to kick off here. Very right, too. Ladies first.
Thank you. Morning. We just want to say thank you for the introduction, Dave. And Chris and I wanted to kind of publicly say to you this morning, thank you so much for giving us this time and the platform to be able to share what we feel God's saying to us in this season. And we wanted to say that we acknowledge courageous leadership from you and an amazing graciousness towards us. And we really thank you and take our hat off to you and say, good job, Dave. Please forgive me. I'm going to have to look at my notes quite a bit this morning. We've had a wonderful new addition of a new sleep thief to our family. So I can't remember the dog's name, the children's names. And if I don't look at my sheet, I'll be telling you a completely made-up vision, something about donkey sanctuaries in Brighton or something like that. So I'm going to stick to the plan so I tell you the truth. And like Dave shared, God's had Chris and I on a bit of a journey for the last 18 months or so, and we feel we've come to a stage now where we need to share it with you as our family here. And ever since we've been married, we've always had a sense that one day we might plant a church. And that's what we're going to share about with you this morning. Chris, when he was a wee nipper, sat on John Wimber's knee and was prophesied over that he would be a pastor, which I think is incredible. For myself, I can vividly remember in my 20s responding to a call in a ministry time for anybody who felt that they would say yes to God to plant churches, and I can remember going forward. So it's always been something around us that we thought we would do. However, about 18 months ago, we had a sense that God was now saying, you need to move forward with this. And almost as soon as we started articulating it to articulating it to each other, then God started to encourage us with prophetic words. So Dave Grove had a word for us where he felt that God was saying that he was calling us to a new season of leadership, that would involve a move for us as a family, and that God was saying he'd already approved us, which was very nice, and that he was saying to us, are you up for it? And we were like, yes, we're up for it. And another good friend had a dream. In it, she saw the two of us with two children, and we were telling her that we were leaving to go plant a church. And at this time, I think we just had Noah. So needless to say, we were encouraged and we thought, well, maybe we're on the right track here. We'll keep moving forward. And as we considered how we were going to do this, we started to seek the Lord for three questions. We asked him, when was going to be the right time for us to plant a church? Where was going to be the right location? And who were we going to plant this church with? And that question was kind of twofold. Were we going to plant just as a family, the two of us and our children? Or would we take a team with us? And would we plant with a specific denomination or movement? So the first question seemed to be the quickest one to get answered. When would we plant a new church? And we quickly felt that summer 2012 was going to be the right time for us to move on from Woody and start this adventure. Partly because it was a natural conclusion to something. So Chris finished his 2-year theology course in summer. Summer is the time when a lot of the students go home, and so everything kind of goes a lot quieter. It's a period of transition. And also we thought maybe we can squeeze another baby out before then, and I would be off on maternity leave. So we kind of arrived at this summer would be the right time for us. And the other two questions of where we would plant and who we would plant with were a little bit more engaging. And the first thing we pondered was, is God calling us to Wales specifically, or can we look further afield? Not that we wanted to, but we were kind of like, is it a specific call to this nation? And in August 2009, we went to New Wine Wales. I was pregnant with Nora at the time, and we both of us had words from the Lord about a calling to Wales. Chris was prophesied over by the leader of New Wine Ireland, who said to him that he would be a revivalist in Wales and that he would raise other revivalists, and that there was something here for him to do. And earlier on in the same evening, I'd been in worship and I'd felt the Lord talk to me about our unborn baby, and I felt like he said he's supposed to be Welsh, he's supposed to be born here because there is an inheritance for him in the land and I want him to have this, which for me was really weird. It doesn't feel weird now, but at the time I felt very, very English. And the thought of having a Welsh baby was just a little bit like, oh, anyway, God's timing was perfect with that word, because later that evening, very early at 33 weeks, my waters broke and out popped Noah. So God knew what he was doing. So when it came to church planting, our first thought was, well, we've had these words about Wales, we'll pursue whether we're called here. And we knew we didn't, although we don't want to plant a solely student church, we love students so much. When I look at them in church on a Sunday morning, honestly, you warm my heart. I get excited about you, about your fervor, about your passion, about the things God has for you. And we want to continue that. We want to raise awesome leaders and visionaries and pioneers among students. So we thought, looking at Wales, we're going to look at university cities. So we thought of Cardiff, and we thought of Aberystwyth, and we thought of Swansea. And in March last year, after the Woody Weekend away, we went to Aberystwyth specifically to look at whether this was a place we could plant a church. And we had a lovely day out at the seaside, the sun shone, and we thought, no, this is not for us. So we came away, and that was that. Swansea didn't seem right either. And at the time, we really felt if we planted in Cardiff, that we would ruffle too many feathers, or we just didn't have particularly me. Chris was a bit more like, well, I think we could plant here. And I was a bit more like, no, I think... I'm not quite settled on that yet. So we kind of left Wales and thought, well, maybe we're going to come back. Maybe this was just for a season now and it'll be a season again. So we started to look further afield. We consider the northeast of England. My folks are up there. We love it. So we looked at Durham. We looked at Newcastle briefly. And then we thought about kind of round Sheffield and Leeds. And around the same time, we started to become really good friends with the leaders of Vineyard here, the new Vineyard plant, James and Jen Rankin. And God kind of set us up with them. You know how he does. We went away for a week's holiday thinking, we'll get away from everybody. We went to Bluestone. It was great for Noah. And on the first night there, Chris hears this little voice behind him going, hiya, Chris. And it was James. And he was like in the next lodge to us with Jen and their kids. So we just spent the whole week together, got to know them and talk loads about Vineyard. And Chris and I say that if you sliced us open as a couple, you would see Vineyard written inside of us. That's where, like, Chris was raised in a Vineyard church. I spent 11 years there before I came here. And we love the Vineyard. We love loads of the way that they do church. And so we began to consider whether we were going to plant a Vineyard church. And this would obviously have an impact on where we were going to plant, because you don't want to plant where there's a new Vineyard plant already there. You know, it causes too much conflict. And anyway, as that progressed, Chris met with the leader of the Vineyard plant and stream in September last year, Steve Barber, and really strangely came away with a sense that it wasn't right, and which kind of was a surprise to us. But at the same time, you know when you say something and every time you say it, you get a check in your spirit. And every time we started articulating about Vineyard, it was like, I love this, but it doesn't feel right. So that kind of So we kind of steered away a little bit and thought, well maybe there's something else for us. It was kind of what we needed to do was listen to our spirit rather than our rationale. Sometimes our brains get in the way of what the Lord's trying to do a little bit. Anyway, around March last year, we came to the place where we thought, right, we need to bring this to the leadership. So we were at the place then in March of knowing we wanted to go to a university city but not knowing where, knowing we wanted to plant in the summer, and pretty much not knowing much more. So we came to Dave and the leaders, and they were amazing. They said, they challenged us about a few things, but they also said, bless you, we bless you to pursue what you feel God's calling you to.
Hello. Good. I'm on. Okay, well, thanks, darling. Well, I just wanted to talk really about why plant churches, and you know, just teach a little bit about that first. It's just a new concept, I know, to us as a church. You know, in the 10 years that I've been here, I've never ever heard a sermon on it or anything like that. So I just thought it'd just be important just to share on it briefly. Peter Wagner states this. He says, "Planting new churches is the most effective evangelistic method known under heaven." What does the Bible say? If you've got a Bible with you, turn to Matthew 28. And I'm just going to be quick because we've got a few things to go through. But the most important reason to plant new churches is to play our part in fulfilling the Great Commission. In Matthew 28, 18 to 20, it says this. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Now, firstly, Jesus has given us authority to go. We have his mandate to go, which implies breaking new ground, mobility to intentionally pursue lost people. Making disciples and baptizing them is about incorporating converts into God's family, the church, and specifically local expressions of New Testament church life. If we are to teach people all that Jesus commanded, then converts need to be added to churches that are modeled after the value we see in Scripture. The answer is as clear, as simple as a simple reading of the New Testament. Jesus gave the Great Commission just before he ascended into heaven. The apostles obeyed his command by going from town to town, leading people to faith in Christ and planting churches. The book of Acts is primarily the account of the planting of churches in obedience to the command of Christ to make disciples. Paul planted churches on his missionary journeys. He did not ride into town, hold a great crusade, and then ride out again. He planted churches on apostolic foundations and saw elders raised up and appointed. The book of Acts, which I'm sure most of us have probably read at some time. If you haven't, you should. Acts 8 starts really in verse 5 to 12. Philip plants a church in Samaria. In Acts 9, another church is planted in Damascus. In Acts 9, again, you know, now we're seeing churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, which is a partial fulfillment of Acts 1:8. In Acts 9, we see another church planted in Lydda. Peter established a Gentile church in Caesarea. And in 11, the persecuted believers planted churches in Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. In Acts 13, we see Paul's first missionary journey to plant churches and it's the biggest single church planting venture up to that point. Again, in 15 to 18, we see Paul's second missionary journey, all to do with church planting and strengthening existing churches. And in Acts 18 to 21, Paul's third missionary journey, he planted new churches again and strengthened existing ones. We feel strongly that the Bible encourages the church then and the church now to plant new expressions of church in areas that are unchurched and in areas that are already churched but have not effectively reached out to everyone in that area. In a summary of 6 research papers into church planting by the Lewis Center for Church Leadership, their results show that new churches grow faster than more established ones. Interestingly, their research notes, newer churches do not grow faster just because they start small and thus show a higher rate of growth. Newer churches in all size categories show greater growth than established churches of comparable sizes. Newer churches do not grow faster just because they are planted in suburban areas where the population is increasing. Churches are more likely to grow in areas of population growth. However, in all locations, from rural areas to city centres and urban areas, newer churches grow faster than established ones. Dozens of denominational studies have confirmed that the average new church gains most of its new members, 60 to 80%, from the ranks of the people that are yet to be churched, the yet to be saved, the unchurched amongst us. While churches over 10 to 15 years, gain 80 to 90% of their growth from, you know, or the new members that come in from transfer growth from other congregations. This means the average new congregation will bring 6 to 8 times more new people into the life of the body of Christ than an older congregation of the same size. Joel Comiskey wrote a book called Planting Churches That Reproduce. And in it he states this: church plants need new people, new ideas and new vision if they're going to emerge out of the darkness and into the sunlight. Established churches tend to be more concerned about building upkeep, the personality of the preacher, who's on the board and the program schedule for the upcoming year. Church plants are completely stripped of all illusions. Do or die. Reach out or close the doors. Invite or implode. Church plants are desperate for growth. Without growth, the church falls. This reality keeps that church on its knees, crying out to God. Now, what I am not saying is this, that we need to be constantly starting new churches and that it's all about new churches. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need more established churches because they offer things that simply new churches cannot. What I am saying is that we need both. Helen.
Okay, you still with us? Yeah, thank you. Okay, so the story moves on. It's now April last year, and I became pregnant with Joel. We did manage to squeeze another one out in time. And this pregnancy was all a little bit tricky. I was very poorly. I was off work loads. And basically, this was an all-consuming process for us as a family, and everything went on hold. And it wasn't until kind of the autumn time last year, when I started to feel a bit better, that Chris and I started to press in again to the Lord about planting. And in November, we went to a weekend away to Hereford, just because it was nearby, and if I had a baby again early, I would be able to nip back. And we went without Noah. Thank you, Nanny and Bumpy. And we just spent some time talking and praying. And a few weeks previous to this, Chris had been hanging out with some of the... Sounds cool, doesn't it? Hanging out with some of the Bethel guys. And he had been chatting with a chap called Michael Brudier, who said some things that kind of gave us a paradigm shift in terms of thinking of where we should plant. He started to talk about some of the stuff that John Wimber used to say, in that churches often grow better in clusters, like grapes on a vine. And if you see a good church, plant next door. And we were all like, ooh, bristle as you do. And but God really used that to start us thinking, well, maybe we could plant in Cardiff. We'd also been given advice that if you have a choice, if God's not saying, go plant in Durham or go plant in Sheffield, and we did feel we had a choice, then we were advised, plant somewhere you want to live, plant somewhere you want to raise your kids, you're going to be with people who are like you, who you're going to attract and draw, and for us that would be Cardiff. We love it here. We would happily move if God says move, but we felt that we had a choice. So we thought, again, maybe it's Cardiff. And one of the main things we started to consider as well, again, me more than Chris, was... It started to seem crazy to move to another university city with the same amount of unsaved people, with the same amount of what we call lively churches, and have to start all of these relationships with church leaders and people all over again. Chris was, building really good relationships with other leaders in the city. We have an awesome relationship with James and Jenna Vineyard. And to cut that off and just start again for the sake of just doing it just seemed bonkers. So we started to think, for all of these reasons, perhaps the Lord would call us to Cardiff. So back to our weekend away. By the end of the Saturday, sorry, this is why I need to look at my notes. I've missed a bit out. Rewind. On the Saturday, Chris had gone for a walk by himself. I was having a prayer slash snooze back in the hotel, and Chris had wanted to get to the river in Hereford, so he was trotting along and then came to a road that was called Vineyard Road, and he thought, shall I go down here to get to the road? It was teeming it down with rain, and then he thought, no, I'll have a little look at my map, and looked at the next road along would get him to the river as well, but would get him there quicker. So he took the next road, and as he came down this road, cracking sunshine came out, and he just felt the Lord speak to him and said, look, guys, you've got a choice. You can go the Vineyard route, and you will get to the river. You'll get to the flow of what the Spirit's doing, or you can take the next road, and it'll be a bit quicker for you. So it's nothing against Vineyard at all. So we found that very interesting. So we came to the end of the Saturday. We went out for dinner, and we kind of pinned a few things down. We got to the place where we're like, we're going to say that we're seriously thinking about planting in Cardiff. We're going to do Cardiff. We're going to do it in summer 2012, and it's looking like it's not going to be a vineyard because of all the reasons I've shared and because there was a new vineyard plant already in Cardiff. So that was the stamp on that, really. And I can remember saying to Chris, God is really going to have to go ahead of us because it will be... it's taken us to have a paradigm shift about that it's okay to plant in Cardiff. It'll take probably a lot of you to do that too. So I said, God's going to have to go ahead of us, and he's going to have to show us that this is right. The pair of us have no desire to shuffle the pack of Christians around. There is zero point in it. We are planting a church to extend the kingdom. Yes, we would like to take a small team with us because it is the quickest way to see a church flourish and to be established. But we do not want 40 of you coming with us. There's no point. And we don't want to rustle sheep from other churches too, okay? We are doing the do and die approach, small team, go for it, let's see some people saved. So anyway, we'd said to God, you're going to have to go ahead of us. And the next morning we went to a New Frontiers church, no idea, just looked up on the internet, thought we'll try this. Rocked up, lively church, about 300 people. Really different, you know, when you go to a different church, it's always funny, isn't it? And so anyway, we enjoyed the worship. The pastor got up to teach and he said, I never do this publicly on a Sunday morning, but I really feel like God said I need to prophesy over two couples. And I knew it was us. I had a massive contraction because I got all nervous about it. And he said, will you stand up? So we stood up, and he just gave a really simple word to us, but it was bang on. And he just said, you just need to know that the Lord is going ahead of you and he's prepared the ground for the next part of your journey. So either that's really bad timing and this guy's, you know, bad timing, or actually the Lord is saying he's gone ahead of us and we're on the right track. So we came home from the weekend knowing that we needed again to meet with the eldership and to tell them of how things had moved forward. And in praying through, okay, so we're not going to be a vineyard. We didn't think we looked like a Baptist church plant. We didn't think, you know, it's just not, we love it, the Baptist movement, but it's not us. You hear me right on that, don't you? And so we kind of prayed through, how are we going to do this? And we have come to the place that we are going to go down the relational route rather than the structural route. So what we mean by that is we are going to ask people who we see as wise and seasoned and gifted leaders to oversee us and to have a formal kind of process in place. So we'd meet with them ever so often. They'd come and visit us at church. And so we've asked a few guys to do that, and that's all in process. We won't be part of a denomination as such, but we will link in with other networks, New Wine and various things like that. So kind of about this time as well, we also received significant challenge to what we were doing on all aspects of it. Should you be planting in Cardiff? Are you church leaders? Every aspect of it we got challenged on, and it really drove us back to the Lord. We were like, God, are we doing the right thing here? You know, we've really felt this. You've been encouraging us, but we don't want to we don't want to cock it up or upset people or anything like that. So we really kind of cried out to the Lord. And during that time, we asked a couple of people to pray for us. And we said to them, all we said to them was, Chris and I have had a challenging week. We're okay as a couple. You know, we're not hitting the divorce courts. Can you pray for us? Any words of encouragement or correction you have, we would love to receive them. And we got one word. And these people know that at some point we were thinking of planting a church, but they had no idea of where we were in the process, that we talked to leadership, that anything about it. So I don't think it would have been on their radar. And one couple sent us back and they said, I've got a picture of a boat that has left harbour and that is heading for a destination, but you need to avoid rocks and currents and other ships and just kind of proceed with care, but you are to keep your destination in mind. So we found that encouraging. And then we had another another good friend who just kind of spoke into our hearts, really, and said that you're experiencing conflict at the moment between what you feel God's prepared and is calling you to and actually what you see, how you see the situation, and that I feel God's saying, go for it. And that he will take care of the details. He will give you wisdom as to how to deal with things that are difficult. And that, and this word also spoke to how we were carrying burdens for things, which we were, and that the God was saying that they were his to work out and we were just to kind of keep going. So it was an incredible word for us and we felt very encouraged. So Chris, we just felt we should keep going, move forward carefully and gently. And this is kind of to the point of where we are now. So at this point, we shared again with the leadership, who again are awesome, who have again challenged, encouraged, who are very graciously letting us share. And we are now at the point where we are preparing to leave, really. Chris is going to come and share another part of the puzzle in a moment. We would like to take a small team with us. We're not going to say any more than just pray about if that's you. We recognise as well that you might have lots of questions. We've been on an 18-month journey, but this might be the first time you've heard anything about this morning. So we want to give you a chance to pray about it and to talk to us, and the leadership want to give you a chance to talk to the leadership as well. So next Sunday after church, we will be having a lunch. Just rock up, bring some pennies. We will feed you, and that is your chance to ask anything at all of us or the leadership about the process, about anything at all. Please be nice to us. Yeah, and I think I'll hand over to you now.
Hi again. Thanks for your time. Not too long left. Just really want to share something which actually feel like this is harder to share than anything, really, just because of emotions and having a heart for this place and loving this place, and having to say that you're moving on from somewhere is a challenge, but there's a lot of things that we're really excited about and a lot of things that we feel the Lord's got for us. But a big part of any piece of the jigsaw in starting a new movement or a new ministry is when you pioneer something, is that, you know, a church plant doesn't have finance. It doesn't have a bank account where you can pay staff and all that sort of thing yet, because it's forming and because it's new. And so one of the things that we do, one of the things that felt the Lord called us to do was to say, well, you know, I've got a family, I've got two kids, I've got a wife, can't really leave them on the breadline. And as much as I love food bank, kind of like, you know, not like to be in that situation as much as, you know, understand why people are. So just, you know, prayed about it and just said, well, I'll just look, you know, looking for jobs. So I looked, jobs really felt like the Lord was saying, like, you know, and was encouraged to look for jobs in the areas that would be surrounded by the people groups or one of the people groups that we feel like the Lord's called us to reach. So I started looking at universities. And this job came up at Cardiff University. It looked great, so I was like, well, you know, okay, hopefully do all of that. And I applied, and I was really, not surprised, but just really touched that I got asked for interview. And I was interviewed at the beginning on the 4th of May, and the lady said, you know, don't worry, you know, if you don't hear anything today, you know, we'll just chat to you on Tuesday. So I was like, okay, see how that goes, Lord. I'll just give it to you. I'll give it into your hands. Because if you have paved a way, and that word is from you, and you are saying that you've paved a way, that you've made a way for us, then this piece of the jigsaw is straightforward for you. Later on Friday, I get a phone call saying that they'd love to offer me the job. So on the 28th of May, which is not that long away, I'll be starting a new job. That doesn't mean we're leaving on that, the 27th. It just means that I'm stopping being employed by the church, and I'll be start being employed by Cardiff University to be an operations and events manager in their graduate centre, which is a great role, surrounded by 8,500 graduate students, and right there in the thick of our, of what we feel the Lord's calling us to be our, part of our mission field. We will be leaving Woody, but not that quickly. You know, we chatted with the leadership and that sort of thing, and our last Sunday is going to be last kind of official Sunday will be the 1st of July. So there we go. As I close, I've just got a few couple of things I want to share that I think is important just to answer some of the questions of why plant church in a city and why plant church in Cardiff. The greatest missionary in history, St. Paul, had a rather simple twofold strategy. First, he went into the largest city of a region, and second, he planted churches in each city and appointed elders in every town. Once Paul had done that, he could say that he had fully preached the gospel in a region and that he had no more place to work in these regions. This means Paul had two controlling assumptions. A, that the way to most permanently influence a country was through its chief cities, and B, the way to most permanently influence a city was to plant churches in it. Once he had accomplished this in a city, he moved on. He knew that the rest that needed to happen would follow. Now I believe, and we believe, that Cardiff is a key city, that when it is transformed by his love, has the ability to reach the wider region. Cardiff is, as you know, the capital of the nation, and thus is a key city that needs reaching. Cardiff is also a growing city. Just as we've been researching stuff, sorry, I'm just drinking. Well, in 2001, the census reported that 292,000 people live in the city of Cardiff. 9 years later, in 2010, that census read over 340,000 people live in that city. So over 9 years since I've been here, we've seen an extra 60,000 people come into the city. And those people aren't going to be reached by themselves. They need new churches that are going to reach out to them. That's simply the maths for you. There are a number of good churches already in our city, some young and some old, yet we feel that planting church in cities and planting church in this city is one of the most effective ways to reach out and to expand the kingdom. Why? You may ask. Well, Tim Keller, who's planted over, I can see Gavin's face light up, he's a big fan, who's overseen over 170 church plants, says this. Says the vigorous, continual planting of new congregations is the single most crucial strategy for one, the numerical growth of the body of Christ in any city, and two, the continual corporate renewal and revival of the existing churches in a city. Nothing else, not crusades, outreach programs, parachurch ministries, growing mega churches, congregational consulting, nor church renewal processes will have the consistent impact of dynamic, extensive church planting. This is an eyebrow-raising statement, but to those who have done any study at all, it is not even controversial. For instance, studies show that when new people move into a city, they are so much more likely to go to a younger church than they are to an existing one. Another current issue that challenges me and stirs me, and it's specific to Cardiff, is the fact that 73% of Christian students at the moment don't go to church and they don't go to the CU. And they need reaching. And why is one of the questions that comes up in that. Why are we only seeing, you know, 27% of Christians that are at university become part of local church life? And one of the suggestions is that they're put off by bigger churches, or they're put off by flourishing student ministries where they feel there's no place for them. That doesn't mean that we should shut all that down, not at all. But it does mean that we need more churches and smaller churches that can reach out to those Christian students and invite them. A kingdom perspective, and this is where I'll close. Although there is some pain in seeing good friends and valued leaders go away to form a new church, the older church usually soon experiences a surge of high self-esteem and an influx of new enthusiastic leaders and members, which I really feel is going to happen here. And however, a new church in the community usually confronts churches with a major issue, the issue of kingdom-mindedness. New churches, as I've shared, draw most of their new members, up to 80%, from the ranks of the unchurched. But they will always attract some people out of existing churches. It is inevitable. At this point, the existing churches, in a sense, have a question posed to them. Are we going to rejoice in the 80%, the new people the kingdom has gained through the new church? Or are we going to bemoan the situation and resent the individuals we lost to it? Our attitude to new church development is a test of whether our mindset is geared to our own institutional turf or to the overall health and prosperity of the kingdom of God in a city. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to share with you this morning. You know, it's been an honour to be part of Woody. It's been an honour to be part of this church. And by no means are we leaving on bad terms or anything like that. We feel so encouraged and we feel so blessed that we're able to share this morning, that we're able to speak and have leadership that we converse with and trust with, and friends and family here. You know, and I know we'll have a proper farewell in the coming weeks, so I'll just say thank you for now. So what next? Well, Helen's already shared. There'll be a lunch next week. Please come along. Soup and bread, you know, just and cake, apparently. Get baking. And then I'll just say this, on the 9th of June, and this is just, you know, I know there's other stuff that's already going on, but on the 9th of June, we're inviting people who may feel God is potentially calling them to be a part of a team to start a new and fresh church in the city of Cardiff. Then we invite you to take the first step, to pray, to process, to seek God, but then come and speak to myself or Helen and just say that you'll intend to be at that meeting, and we'll give you further details. Well, thanks very much. We're done. Bless you.
Okay, now this is Chris and Helen's day, and I won't take too long on this. But everything I'm saying this morning obviously represents not just me, but the leadership team as a whole. And as a leadership team of pastor, elders, and deacons, we think it's appropriate to share something of how we feel we should respond to the call that Chris and Helen have just described. And I want to strike four notes here. The first one is a note of appreciation, and I think that's right that it comes first. This is a good moment for us to express to both of you guys our appreciation and our thanks for all that you've brought to Woody, and to assure you of our love and our blessing as you move on. Chris and Helen obviously are gifted people. They've got a big heart for God and a big heart for his kingdom, and I think that's come across this morning. We value what they've brought to the life of the church, and in due course we will, as Chris has pointed out, want to say a proper farewell in which we will want to pray for and bless the both of them. So that's the first note, the note of appreciation. Secondly, a note of realism. I think it's important in church life that you tell it like it is. And I think it's important that as a fellowship here, we recognize that Chris and Helen moving on is likely to bring real challenges to us as a fellowship, especially if other folks from Woody decide to go with them. That, of course, does create space for other people to step into areas of ministry that and leadership that you might not presently be involved in, and there's an invitation there. However, there is obviously the sadness of saying goodbye to good friends. There is also a possible impact on our numbers, our finances, and some of the ministries that we currently value in our fellowship. We need to be realistic about that. It's likely to be so. As things develop, as leaders, we'll have a clearer idea of the scale of those challenges and we begin to make plans. But at this stage, I think it is right to make clear that we're aware of the issues that we face. The third note that I need to strike is a note of blessing. Despite those issues, and they're real ones, we feel it's important to give the opportunity for Chris and Helen to share their vision openly with us this morning as they have, so that part of the reason for that is so that any of you who in the end feel that you should be part of their vision and their church plant will be able to leave openly with our blessing, with our good wishes, and with our prayers. We don't want people slinking off and there being any kind of atmosphere. We want this to be done in love and done in grace and with blessing. Scripture urges us to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When you face a challenging situation, that becomes more important rather than less important. So it's something that we want to be very clear about. The fourth note, and I actually don't have, I don't have carte blanche for this. This is just me, but I think the leadership will be happy with it. I think it is fairly obvious that in the coming months for Chris and Helen, as well as for us at Woody, it's going to be actually quite a big invitation to stretch our faith muscles. The vision that they bring brings a challenge to our faith. It brings, I'm sure, even more of a challenge to their faith. So it will be good, I think, in the coming weeks and months to be much in prayer for one another as we look at the way ahead. Guys, time, of course, has absolutely gone, but I just want to pray for you before we come into communion. And it might be a mad dash to the table and back again, given where we are this morning, but it'd be good to pray for you, if I may. That's good. And Father, first of all, we want to honor Chris and Helen. We want to honor them for all that they brought to this church, all the service that they've given. We want to honor them, Lord, for the faith that they have, that they're real kingdom people. We want to honor them for their heart to see your kingdom extended, this nation reached, and people brought to faith in Jesus. And Father, we want to pray for them now as they enter into a new chapter in their lives and their ministry. Father, where you've spoken and where their vision reflects what you said to them, we want to pray, Lord, that that vision will prosper in their hands, that they would see growth, that they would see blessing. Father, where they may have taken wrong steps or seen things unclearly, Father, we want to pray that you would, in each of those places where it happens, gently correct, gently say, this is the way, walk in it, so that at each step, Lord, they would be in step with you. Father, we want in all things that you would be pouring your blessing on them as a family. Lord, that they would know your joy and your peace in the way ahead. And Father, we want to pray for the success of what they begin, and particularly, Father, the success that's measured in lives that are touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ and with your love. And Father, we want to pray that the fellowship that they begin will be a fellowship that is filled with people finding faith in Christ and new life through you. Lord God, we bless them and we pray for them in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys.